Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro. Ray, we've been talking about, you know, the Bettman announcement and whether or not any substantial news would really come out of it, other than what we've already known, the 2014 playoff format. And I guess there were some things that came out of it in terms of a timeline, in terms of the draft lottery. What stood out for you?
Well, I guess the draft lottery and trying to figure out what it all means. You know, the timeline, you know, he gave what's important, and that's the league's timeline. It doesn't matter what we kind of thought sort of maybe was going to happen. This is really what, you know, here's our timeline. This is when we're going to try to get into it. So I think most people would like that. I mean, you appreciate that there's kind of a definitive date, although if there's a little gray area to that. But the lottery, I'm still a little shaky on that. So, like, Pittsburgh and Montreal play 5-12. The loser's out. They're in the lottery. Where does, say it's Pittsburgh, where do they go in the lottery?
They would go at the bottom because those eight teams that get eliminated get ranked by points percentage. So whoever has the highest points has the worst odds in the lottery.
And Ray,
amongst the extra eight team that lose in.
Ray, you're driving, right? Because Johnny's going to send you a chart and go through it with PowerPoint.
My head exploded in the last segment. Like Johnny hit it like right on the nail. He explained it appropriately.
Exactly.
But I'm trying to keep track of it. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. Like, are we still talking about the lottery, or are we building a rocket to get to Mars? Like, it's so confusing. And, you know, and listen, they're going to have to explain it at some point, because there are, I do think there's really seven markets that actually care about the draft lottery right now. And then I guess 16 that kind of care, because if they lose, then they're in it. But if they win, then they're moving on. So what do they care about that detail? But, you know, if you're in Ottawa or Detroit, I don't think this is good news. I think it's terrible news. You were hoping that only the seven teams could end up with the top three spots, and maybe teams could only move a certain amount of positions. This would suggest that, yes, Pittsburgh could lose and then end up with the first pick. Like, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and I guess what I don't like about that thought is, you know, we've discussed a billion times that things are going to be different this year than they've ever been, and we've got to be open-minded to things that are going to change. But it doesn't seem fair or right. Fair is probably the wrong word. It doesn't seem right that the rules of the lottery would change in the midst of this. Like, why wouldn't you just have it the same way? And if you want to change it next year before the start of the season, when everybody will know what it all looks like for the course of the year. Seems a little bit, I don't know, just not right to change it now.
Well, Ray, I think what they were terrified of was, if they're going to have 24 teams, that you have a team play their way into the playoffs in the round robin, advance a couple rounds, maybe even win a Stanley Cup, and win a lottery. So if you put all the 15 worst teams that would have missed the playoffs by points percentage in the lottery, they're worried about someone advancing the playoffs and getting the best of both worlds, and so they're trying to prevent that from happening by only allowing the teams that lose out in the play-in round to be the extra teams.
Okay, but so maybe I've misunderstood, but so once we get through those eight first-round, or eight, they're not even play-ins. The playoffs, but the play-in round, and right. So you've got eight teams that add to the seven, now you've got 15. Are the rules for those 15 teams, the points percentages, the same as they would have been last year?
Yes, they're laid out in a chart already. You'll have to see it online, but there is a chart that lays out the percentages from, I guess, 8 to 15.
But so if it doesn't change from last year, then really it's no different for Ottawa and Detroit. You've got the same percentages you had before.
Yep.
Yes. Exactly. I think they talked about
maybe just having a draft where you could only flip one spot, and where Detroit would be guaranteed a top two pick, and that changes it. But yeah, basically they are where they thought they would be for those bottom seven teams.
See, I'm okay with that, guys, because I think I would have not liked it, you know, that you could only flip one spot, because those weren't the rules when we started.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm okay with as it is. To have the draft lottery, post, or, you know, the list of teams will be known post the play-in round. Mm-hmm. I'm all good with that. I think that's probably about the best that they were going to do.
Well, and this is just another example of how there's always going to be detractors. There's always going to be people that are rattled, and it's right. just that's just natural. It's going to happen because history would tell us someone's going to win the lottery. Like, someone's going to move up that's going to play another game this year. Someone will lose in the play-in round and then move up. They may move up to the third pick. They may not get the first pick, so it won't be as, you know, loud, and there won't be as many people rattled about the situation, but it likely will happen. But what are you going to do? You know, COVID-19 hit. You're trying to make the best of a weird situation and a situation that no one wanted. And I think they're trying to please as many people as possible. But, you know, that's just that. This is what we got. It's confusing.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they're going to have the draft lottery end of June. They're not going to actually have the draft until after the playoffs. So it does sound like that's not going to happen until September or October based on the timeline. And I think that detail is significant because it sounds like they're committed to a three-week training camp. That may not be guaranteed, but it kind of sounds like they're building that in. And Bettman did say they don't think the training camps will start until early July. So if we're talking August, Ray, that's just one more month away from the game. And I don't know if it adds any rust necessarily, but it kicks the can that much further down the road before you play another game.
Yeah, I don't think it adds any more rust. I'm curious what you guys think, but like after a certain point, there's only so much rust that can be there. You know, like you either feel good or you feel crappy, and it's going to take you a little bit of time to get your legs under you. Now, what I did like about the, you know, without the exact date being mentioned, but what I did like was that the players now will have a 3 week run up, if you will, to training camp. Four to 5 week run up.
Yeah.
So their conditioning can already take another jump. And so by the time they get there, and don't you think, like, by the time they get there, at least most of their or a lot of their conditioning worries can be in their back pocket. Yeah. And then it'll just be trying to get up to speed. If they tried to jump into a training camp, man, it would be chaos right now. Nobody would be in shape. Guys would be pulling hamstrings and tweaking groins all over the place. And now they're going to have a little bit of time because they're going to be under team guidance, if you will. Like, I know there's only six guys in the facility, but they can say, hey, look, guys, here are the benchmarks we want to touch each week so we can help build up your strength and conditioning before camp starts. I think that's a real benefit of this.
Well, what about the top four round robin and how that may be a bit of a competitive disadvantage because you're still alive. In other words, you know, the top four seeds in the East and the top four seeds in the West, they are going to play a round robin to reseed. So, like, going back to the vote, this is why I expected if someone was going to vote no, I thought it would be Boston. Because Boston was cruising to the top seed in the East. And top seed overall. They were going to win the President's Trophy. There was no one even close. And now they could finish with the fourth seed and technically have road games, which won't mean anything with fans, but it will mean something with last change, which will be substantial in terms of game planning. But it sounds like they're gonna have that round robin, but if you're playing in that and you know that you're not gonna be eliminated, do you feel like the intensity is gonna be anywhere close to the team you're eventually going to face, who just had to win a best of five series?
Well, I would say this is probably a really good indication of why you pay your coach millions of dollars. You know, find a way to make those games internally important, because they're critical for you to be able to play a team that's already played games that are ramped up. So the way that you run the last week of your training camp and then into those round robin games, which to me really seem like made up games to keep them busy anyway.
Right.
But make sure those games mean something, because you have to find a way to get your team as ready as possible. And quite frankly, yes, it's on the players, but that's also on the coaches to coach like there's
immediacy and importance to those games. Don't just coach to try and get everybody into the game. Coach because you need them to be ready to play.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that still hasn't been clarified for me, guys, is are they going to play a couple exhibition games before they get into it, or do you just have them 3 weeks and going, okay, we're starting tomorrow, and you're not tomorrow, but starting after those 3 weeks, like into real games? And in those training camps, are you just going to have inter-squad games to kind of get you into game shape? Like, there's doesn't seem to be any, like, 2 to 3 games exhibition schedule before you get right into this tournament.
No, it doesn't seem like it, does it? And when you think of it, or for me anyway, you don't really want those exhibition games from a health perspective, whether it be, you know, physical health or the COVID stuff. That, man, the less times you put yourself in harm's way, the better. And so you might have to make do with training camp scrimmage, if you will, and those preliminary the round robin games. You might just have to make do with it.
Right.
Yeah. Ray, do you think now that we kind of work back from the timeline, you're talking about July training camp, you're talking about 5 weeks, June into July of this phase two, does it seem more important now that guys don't have to get back right away for this? Because 5 weeks skating kind of by yourself in this lockdown six-man unit on, at your practice rink, that might almost be too long, wouldn't it?
Well, when I heard that, my first thought was, man, is this going to get boring?
Yeah.
Like, there's six guys in there, you know, you got to hope that one of them's a goalie so you don't have to shoot against the crossbar or against the shooter tutor. But you can only do so much, right?
Exactly. Like,
the first week will be great. You'll be able to skate around and, you know, you'll be able to pass the puck to somebody and you'll be at the rink and that'll be awesome. And the second week might be okay, but by week three, you're going to be like, damn, can we move on to something else?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that's an issue that they're going to have to play. When I say issue, it's a challenge for the players and the coaches to have to work through. Now, maybe, I don't know this, maybe you guys know, like, can you vary the six guys that are at the rink?
Yeah, presumably, yeah.
I would imagine, yes.
Okay, so what if one day you bring your power play there?
Yeah,
and then another time you bring a line there and you say, okay, we're going to work on some forecheck stuff and some cycling around. Like, you can do all that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't think you're supposed to be within 6 feet of each other. So
as long as you don't get too close to each other.
You can run routes.
Yeah, can you work? A six foot cycle, I guess so. I mean, no one's cycling.
Well, I don't know. I've seen some teams cycle and they're 14 feet apart.
No kidding.
To be able to I think you got to be able to at least build an approximation, maybe, Brian, of what a cycle might be. My point is, you're going to have to do something to jazz it up. To Johnny's point, like, jazz it up, make it interesting. Like, you got to have something.
Right.
Guys will check out. Guys will check out mentally, and then they'll check out physically come week four of what? Doing wallies and one-timers. Like, there's only so much they can do.
I think there is going to be some creativity, and it sounds like you have six guys in, and then they bring in the cleaning crew, and you can have another six guys in. You can vary that. And you know what? Your slot may be, hey, at four, you're skating 4 o'clock on Wednesday, and you're skating at 9 a.m. on Thursday. Like, they're going to slot it out, and you have to mix and match. You can't have the same six guys. That's the one thing I took out of that 22-page document was that goaltenders were allowed a little extra time, and they had to hire a goalie coach outside of their own organization's goalie coach, which I thought was unique. But they were allowed more time, and I think that's, to your point, Ray, guys not shooting at crossbars and shooter tutors, you're at least going to have access to a goaltender to shoot on. You need one. You can't have six guys out there shooting at a dummy.
Yeah.
See, Noodle, see how much we value you guys? Just get me a goalie in there. Yeah. I don't even care.
Anybody.
Somebody.
I did use the word dummy, the practice dummy, so and I feel like I was one for many years, but it is what it is. Like, I don't mind that. Like, I was thinking how a guy like Frederik Andersen is going to ramp things up. I would imagine he's going to hire a goaltender coach outside who will be in touch with Steve Briere to run through a couple drills, that type of stuff. Like, you know what you want to work on But it'll be interesting to see how these guys train, what they're going to be looking to do while they're training when things are not like you. Are you going to be able to have a guy in front of the net screening and tipping shots? I don't think you can, right? Six feet.
Unless you're 6 feet
not
away.
Not until training camp, yeah, I guess.
Not
till July, right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's, I mean, again, I think as much as we got some answers, as I expected and as I suspected, there was not a ton of concrete answers that we weren't aware of prior to today. But it does feel like it's a step for sure. And I think they're going to play, which is obviously what we really want to hear and want to know. We'll leave it there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5, buddy.
Talk to you then, boys. Have a good one.
Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. So Bettman is still kind of talking and doing the rounds, and it sounds like he's making it pretty clear to the Canadian government that a 14-day quarantine isn't going to happen. So in other words, if you want to be a hub city and you think you're going to ask us to all show up and then sit in our rooms for 14 days, we're not coming. So that's going to be on the Canadian government to make a decision on whether or not they think it's worth it to waive that decision.
Ryan Rashog, who's been all over this out in Edmonton and been right tapped in, talked with the premier and everything, suggested that 14 days, Hayes, could occur in the bubble. Like they could be going to the rink, like the self-contained NHL bubble. So not just sit in your room, but just go through the process of going to practices, playing games. But you have to stay inside the bubble. You can't get out of the public, maybe to go eat or go walk. But in that sense, maybe more manageable.
Well, it could be, but maybe it's not enough.
Well, I mean, let's say it's Toronto. The guys have to come in, but they could still work out in the facility provided. They could still, you know, go back and forth to the hotel with the buses or what's provided, but they're under quarantine. Like I think it's manageable. I don't think it's a hill the NHL is going to die on if they believe that one of these Canadian hubs is the best suited for their league to resume, whether that's Toronto, Vancouver, or Edmonton.
But I guess if you have options of cities that don't have that restriction, that are kind of the same. I mean, tie goes to the one where I don't have to sit in my room for 2 weeks.
Exactly. But I also think you gotta consider we could be in a very different position as a country 2 months from now, right? Like if they're not all coming together and congregating in the hub city until, let's say, July 25th, literally 2 months from now, it may be a different situation, especially if you're going to Alberta where – they may, by that point, maybe there's no cases. Like today, I saw no new cases in the province of Manitoba. There are some active cases, but no new cases. And, you know, Western Canada has done a pretty good job of that. We're pretty much talking southern Ontario and parts of Quebec that continue to show outbreaks and show cases. And that's why Toronto was listed as one of the 10 cities that is still in consideration. And I kind of get the impression like they're pushing for it and they'd like to be included, but I'm not sure I see that as a feasible option because of where we are as a market right now, compared to what other markets may have in terms of testing and in terms of actual outbreaks. And
there's only three Eastern Conference teams though of those 10, Hayes. There's only three Eastern Conference teams, right? Pitt, Columbus, and Toronto.
And well, I'm not sure they're committed to having an Eastern team. I don't know if they feel they need to.
I don't know.
But logistically, might make more sense.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if you saw Frank Saravelli's tweet, but he was talking that, you know, if it seems like a virtual lock. I don't know if that's true or not. If Vegas is one, they could be the Eastern hub. But, you know, people are asking, like, there's going to be multiple games per day. Like, you're going to get the Eastern, you know, I guess population is going to get their teams at prime time, but they're also going to get, like, their team is traveling out to San Jose and playing a 10 o'clock game as well. Like, it's going to be mixed and matched because I would argue if you've got two major buildings, it's probably going to be 2 to 3 games per day if you've got, you know, 6 games going on staggered in between, you know, day after day. Like, I think it's it's feasible. They've got it all laid out. But, man, to this point, you keep asking more and more questions. Like, what's this going to look like? What's that going to look like? Like, I would love for him if he came out and said today, like, Vegas and Vancouver, Vegas, Edmonton, Vegas, Toronto, something like that. Then we could kind of get our mind wrapped around it. But maybe that's in the weeks to come here.
Yeah, I would think I mean, I guess we do have time. I mean, as you said, Johnny, like they're committed to getting this done when they feel they have to get it done. Like if it leaks into August, into September, into October, I guess they'll do it. And if that's the case, they're going to make sure that they have everything figured out before they pick a hub city. And there's likely some politics involved in picking a hub city as well, because what it's going to mean for that market and the economy and the idea that you're kind of sending out this message that, hey, we're open for business, which I think is very valuable. And like I could see Vegas being picked. If logistically it makes the most sense, then you go for it, because safety clearly is the top priority. It has to be. But I could see there being a lot of blowback on that. Like, wait a minute, they've been in the league for 3 years.
Right.
Like, we've been in the league for 100. We want it. You know, and don't kid yourself. That kind of conversation will come up.
Sure.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it already has. Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, we're, I would do it.
I would too.
Please.
If I and
we
and
generate
let's
the revenues, we drive the business. We're the biggest team. We've got the history. I don't want to hear about a franchise 2 years old. I don't care if they're good. I don't care if they have hotels. We got hotels too.
Right.
We got a Canadian dollar that's worth a lot less than the American dollar. Come on, north of the border if we're safe.
Like
you would make that argument passionately.
You most certainly would, for sure. All right, so we'll continue to get you more details on what was announced here from the NHL today. What it means going forward, the timeline, what it means for the Maple Leafs. We'll touch on that, because based on this, it sounds like it'll be Leafs-Columbus, likely a best-of-five series, just to get into the playoffs, because they have determined that this little playoff round is not technically is not going to be considered playoff games. So it's kind of just in the middle. It's not regular season. It's not playoff games. They're just games that happen, and then I guess the history books will erase them, and we'll move on.
And the stats don't count. Like,
stats,
they're not playoff stats. They're not regular season stats.
God.
They're this weird sort of...
That it is a hybrid thing. It's a
hybrid.
Hybrid.
Does that show
universe
up in the arbitration case? I would bring it up.
I don't know.
If I light up the hybrid case?
Yeah. Get some new columns?
You
but
got
that's
to,
the
man.
Thing. If you end up going south in that, too, and you know, score zero
didn't
goals
happen
in four games. Didn't happen.
Yeah,
nothing to see here.
Sorry,
folks.
Man.
Wipe from the hard drive.
I looked
never
at HockeyDB. Wasn't up there. Those games don't exist.